CBS News is next on KIXI, Seattle. The time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News, a tiny railroad town of Thule may control the fate of Phnom Penh. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS radio network. The insurgents in Cambodia have gradually taken the strategic positions considered necessary for the collapse of the current Cambodian government. First the roads, then the river. Now the final stage of the battle appears to be Thule, a little railroad town 6 miles west of the Phnom Penh airport. If the insurgents can hold Thule, they can fire rockets into the airport almost at leisure. The American airlift of supplies into Phnom Penh goes on, and U.S. officials admit they are taking a risk by continuing, but they say there is no choice. Government troops are now mounting an operation to recapture the town. In South Vietnam, the focus is now on Da Nang. Communist forces fired 14 rockets into Da Nang, adding to the sense of fear and confusion already gripping the city. The only major remaining stronghold in the northern province is Da Nang. The military command in Saigon says the rockets killed 6 civilians and wounded 34 others. Da Nang's population of 500,000 was doubled in the last week with a flood of refugees from Hue and Quang Tri. American officials are preparing a huge airlift to move refugees from Da Nang to the central coastal city of Cam Ranh Bay. The attack on the Da Nang airport could jeopardize the evacuation attempt. The Saigon government continues to deny that government forces have abandoned the old imperial city of Hue, but most other sources say that Hue is lost. More CBS News after this.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
The 30-year-old prince who reportedly assassinated Saudi Arabia's King Faisal attended school in the United States. One of his professors at the University of Colorado remembers the prince as a gentle individual.
He was very polite, gentle. You know, he was rather small in size. He was slight, I should say about 5'4 or 5'5. And in terms of weight, I presume 120 pounds or something like that. And they're always very shy and polite. He would have been the last one I would have suspected of being capable of such a crime.
Professor Edward Rosak. Don Webster has this report on King Faisal's successor.
Prince Khalid, or King Khalid, as he will be tomorrow, may not bring any radical changes to Saudi Arabia. At 62, he's only 7 years younger than the late King Faisal, so he's hardly part of any new generation. Saudi Arabia does have a number of young men educated at Oxford, Cambridge, or in the United States who would like to see Saudi Arabia move more progressively. Khalid is not one of them. The place where the change may make a difference is with OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. King Faisal was almost a godfather to that group, with his many years of experience, devout faith in the Muslim religion, not to mention Saudi Arabia's huge oil reserves. Khalid, on the other hand, is almost an unknown figure, not especially active even in Saudi Arabian politics. Don Webster, CBS News, Beirut.
The Pentagon says the total cost of 40 major weapons increased by more than $8.5 billion in the last 3 months of 1974. The Pentagon blames program extensions, engineering changes, and quality increases for the price jump. More after this.
My dandruff shampoo has no protein conditioners.
No regular shampoo has anything to help my dandruff.
But now I found Sorex medicated shampoo.
It helps relieve the dandruff.
And it has protein conditioners to help build up the body.
With regular use, Sorex helps relieve scaling, flaking, and itching.
Well, its protein conditioners add body, manageability, and luster. So instead of choosing between a clean scalp and beautiful hair, I choose Sorex. And get both.
On nights when you have trouble falling asleep, what do you do to help?
I sleep with my head at the other end of the bed.
I eat.
On those occasional nights when exercise and counting sheep just don't seem to work, try Compose. Compose helps relax you, so your body is able to fall asleep more easily. Of course, by falling asleep more easily, you're going to feel better the next morning. Use Compose only as directed. And remember, the more easily you fall asleep, the better you feel the next morning. Compose.
The House Banking Committee has approved standby legislation. The legislation would protect people who recently became unemployed from losing their homes. The bill would enable the government to pick up mortgage payments for up to 2 years. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI.
Sit around your radio, listening to our mystery show, with someone you'd like to know, and Vigna Rosé. Pull the shades and lock the door, turn the sound up even more, get a glass and quickly pour some Vigna Rosé. We hope you'll find our story strange and frightful. We know you'll find our Vigna wine delightful. Now it's time that we commence, oh, with a tale of great suspense, brought to you with compliments of Vigna Rosé.
Recorded by Hugh Blind, Hartford, Connecticut.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Sit down. Anywhere you like. I have a small confession to make. I am crazy about ghosts, and I cannot for the life of me comprehend why anyone should be afraid of them. What, after all, what do ghosts do? They haunt, that's all. To haunt means to visit, to frequent. In short, to hang around. What's so scary about that? A hopeful lover hangs around a lot. If an inspiring lover or a wistful compatriot can hang around without inspiring fear, why not an anxious ghost?
Is it really you, Paul?
Yes, Melba. It is I.
Paul.
Don't cry, Melba.
I can't help it.
All right, dearest. Go ahead and cry.
Paul, tell me something.
What?
Are you happy? Where you are?
I'm really sorry you asked me that, Melba.
Our mystery drama, Ghost Talk, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Lenka Peterson and Elliot Reed. It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and imported Vigna Rosé wine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You're on the open road. rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick.
Living free.
Inflation. It hits us daily. And if you're in business, you face another kind of inflation. Adflation. Spiraling ad costs just when the need to advertise is greater than ever. What can you do when print costs escalate? When producing a TV commercial cuts sharply into your budget for time? You can do what you do every day. Turn to radio. Radio is effective, inexpensive. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
I think it was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed, and I shakily held onto the willows, and we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish, the biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life, and it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Yes, ghosts haunt places. Traditionally, they haunt large, decrepit mansions with long halls, extensive staircases, and musty attics. But these big old edifices have all disappeared from our landscape. And it is more than likely that the ghost of today has to restrict himself to one-bedroom apartments with bath, kitchenette, and dining area. Poor ghosts. Will they give up haunting altogether? Or will they do what we have done? Adjust.
Melba, you have my number?
Yes, Leonard.
Both at home and at the office. If there's anything I can do, Melba, anything at all.
I'll call you.
Bless you, my dear.
Oh, Paul, where are you? Where? Oh, Irene. It's me. They've all gone. Leonard Whipple was the last to leave. I'm all alone. No, I'm not crying. I'm trying to be brave and calm and remember everything you told me. Leonard said to call him if I needed anything, but what does that mean? I need my husband. I need Paul. Oh, no, Irene, I couldn't go to the movies. No, I'll just sit here and think about Paul. All the beautiful memories. 22 years of beautiful memories. You know, Irene, I keep thinking all the time of what you said to me after the funeral. You said, Paul will never be really dead as long as he's remembered. I keep saying that over and over. Paul isn't really dead as long as he's remembered. I want to thank you, Irene, for that beautiful thought. It means everything to me.
Oh, Melba. Melba.
How goes it, Paul?
Hello. It's Bruce, isn't it? I'm new here. I haven't got everybody straight yet.
You never will. It doesn't matter. Yes, I am Bruce.
Mind if I join you?
I wish you would.
You had a particularly beatific expression on your face just now as I was floating by.
I was thinking of my wife. My wife, Melba.
Yeah, why?
Why? Well, actually, because she was thinking of me. Remembering our wedding day, I was touched.
You're really very new here, aren't you?
Oh, yes, very.
At the start, everybody is either touched that they're remembered, apprehensive that they won't be, or furious that they're not.
Melba feels that no one is really dead as long as he's remembered.
Is that what you want to be? Not really dead?
It sounds nice.
Well, it isn't.
I don't know how you can say that.
Because I happen to know. From bitter personal experience. My sainted mother remembered me every day of her life after I died. Till the day she died and joined me here. Since her arrival, I'm happy to say, we've exchanged precisely 6 words. A while back, she had the grace to apologize. I'm sorry, son, I didn't understand. Those were the 6 words.
Sorry for what?
For remembering me.
What was she supposed to do?
Well, forget, for goodness sakes. I wouldn't expect her to forget immediately, of course. That would be unreasonable. But as soon as possible, put me out of her mind. My life on Earth was over.
Well, I'm sure she meant well, your mother.
After you're here a while, you'll realize that everybody doesn't mean well. And quite often does a lot of harm.
But your mother loved you.
Then why not leave me alone to enjoy myself? Why wake up in the middle of the night to remember how handsome I looked the day I graduated from dental college? So inconsiderate.
Why was it inconsiderate?
Because, my dear fellow, if she kept it up long enough, I'd have to stop whatever I was doing and go visit her.
Visit her? How could you do that?
How? Well, the way it's always done. As a ghost, of course.
Irene? It's me. Oh, all right, I guess. Leonard was here. We sent out for Chinese food. He left about an hour ago. Oh, I'm just sitting here and remembering. I got out the old picture album to show Leonard. I don't think Leonard cares too much for travel. I wasn't sorry when he left. Looking at the snapshots and remembering the beautiful life I had with Paul, it seemed to bring him closer. Oh, I mean it, Irene. A couple of times, I felt as though he was right here in the room with me. Honestly.
Bruce! Oh, Bruce!
That you, Paul?
I had a terrible time finding you.
Well, now you have.
I asked everybody where you were, and nobody knew, and then Salome said, oh, he's probably out strolling among the stars. That's his favorite pastime. But I had no idea how many stars there are.
You still haven't any idea. Actually, neither have I, and I've been here heaven knows how long. So far, this is my favorite galaxy. But of course, I haven't seen them all.
Has anyone, do you think?
Oh, I suppose he has.
He must have seen everything, since the beginning of time.
And before that?
Yes.
What made you come looking for me? Something special?
Bruce, I can't get a moment to myself on account of Melba.
Your wife?
You know what she did. She got out an old snapshot album and started looking over all the pictures we took on our vacations, birthdays, Christmases.
Typical. They all do it.
The worst part is she showed all these pictures to a friend of mine, of hers, ours. Leonard Whipple. He couldn't have cared less.
She's really hanging on to you, isn't she?
It's very nice of her and all that, but it's terribly exciting for me being here. Everything's so completely different. There she goes again. Hear her?
Paul, dear. Dear Paul.
Hear that?
Vaguely.
She just keeps after me and keeps after me.
Well, what about this Leonard Whipple?
Well, he's a very nice guy, but he's not going to hang around much longer if she makes him look at pictures of our honeymoon and the Grand Canyon.
Mm. You couldn't just ignore her, I suppose.
Well, she's my wife, and I love her. I mean, she was my wife, and I did love her. But now, things are different.
I'd say so. Well, for goodness sake, look there. If it isn't him.
Him? You mean it? Really? Him?
I haven't seen him in eons.
I never have.
Sir, please.
Hmm? No, yes, it's Bruce.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, sir. And this is Paul. He's new.
I know. Hello, Paul.
I'm really thrilled to meet you, sir.
The galaxy is looking well, don't you think?
I love this galaxy, sir. You set it out so neatly.
There's one star I've been concerned about. I think it's beginning to twinkle out.
Sir, as long as we were so fortunate as to run into you like this, could we have your advice about something?
You know I dislike giving advice.
It's for me, sir. I don't know what to do about my wife.
Is she here?
Oh, no. She's with the living, on Earth.
Oh. And she's grieving. Well, that's to be expected. She'll stop after a while.
She doesn't show any signs of stopping. I was wondering if I shouldn't, you know, appear to her. Bruce says it's a simple procedure.
Well, you could do that, of course. I never thought very highly of that ghost business, so theatrical.
But if it'll make her feel better?
I suppose we do owe a measure of responsibility to the living.
You think I could go back for a short visit?
You're free to do as you like. If I were to tell you what to do, you wouldn't be free anymore, would you?
Well, if you just tell me what you think.
No, I really can't do that. That would be tantamount to telling you what to do because of me being who I am. You see, you think I have all the answers. Everybody thinks so. Well, I don't. There are countless things I haven't found answers to. However, like everyone else, I keep trying. Now, I really have to go to see if that poor star is feeling any pain. You'll both excuse me?
He wasn't much help.
Well, that's his way.
Oh, dearest.
Oh, there she goes again.
Dearest, oh.
Bruce, I'm going to turn ghost and visit her.
At least you've made a decision.
How do I go about it?
Well, there are no hard and fast rules. Actually, not many of us do it. It's considered kind of freaky.
Freaky?
Look how many of us there are and how few of them. If we all took to ghost walking, we'd have them outnumbered trillions to one.
I don't care. I want to do it. I just need to know how.
Well, you can do it in the old-fashioned way. Clanking chains, winds whistling through the trees, moon behind black clouds and all that.
I don't think Melba would go for that.
Well, then there's the crying, sobbing type of ghost. Inconsolable weeping.
Since I don't feel particularly inconsolable.
Well, then there's the ghost that flits through the halls, appearing and disappearing. Now you see it, now you don't.
No, we don't have a hall, just a rather small foyer. Can't I just appear in some simple, straightforward way? Just say, here I am, dear.
You wouldn't want to start with one weird, uncanny shriek.
I wouldn't know how.
Or a sardonic laugh?
What would I be laughing at?
Oh, life, death, anything in between. Well, if you don't want to do any of those things, things which he calls theatrical, then just appear.
That's more my style, I think.
But wrap a bit of vapor around you. After all, they need something to identify you by. And don't stay too long. And above all, don't let it depress you.
Why should it depress me?
You'll find out, my friend. You'll find out.
It never occurred to me that a visitation by a ghost could be depressing. Take now that well-known ghost of Hamlet's father, speaking spookily from the battlements at Elsinore. Of course, he didn't sound happy. How could he when his own brother had just killed him and promptly married his widow? He sounded angry, yes. Vengeful, yes. But depressed? No. And certainly not depressing. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
It all happens at Totem Lake Shopping Center in Kirkland. 10 exciting days of super savings, fun-filled activity, and ending with the big Totem Lake Happy Hawaiian Easter drawing on March 29th. Two happy people will be going to Honolulu, courtesy of Pan Am World Airways, with room accommodations furnished by Travel Unlimited. Every Totem Lake merchant will have an entry box from which individual prize winners will be drawn. Each of these winning entries will then go into the Totem Lake Grand Prize Golden Box for the Happy Hawaiian Easter drawing. Don't miss out. It's 10 days of excitement at Totem Lake with a Hawaiian Vacation for Two drawing on March 29th. In the meantime, Totem Lake merchants will be offering important specials. So stop by Totem Lake between Bothell and Kirkland on Interstate 405, just minutes from Seattle. The only shopping center with two huge enclosed malls. Totem Lake. For fun, for bargains, and for two lucky people, a trip to Honolulu.
Our moribund hero, Paul, has decided to return to Earth as a ghost and haunt the three-room apartment where he once lived with his wife, Melba. He has simply draped what remains of him in a shred of celestial vapor. And now, as he gazes through the living room window of what used to be his own 10th-floor apartment, he can scarcely be distinguished from the melting moonlight that floods the room inside.
Nothing's changed. She hasn't changed a thing.
Let's take our coffee into the living room, Leonard.
Good idea.
I think I picked the wrong time.
Bring in that plate of cookies, will you?
Right.
Not those same old oatmeal things.
I've always been crazy about oatmeal cookies.
They were Paul's favorites. Set them down there. Cream in your coffee? Sugar?
Black, please. No sugar.
That's the way Paul took his. His after-dinner coffee in the morning, cream and sugar, yes, but after dinner, nothing.
Is that so?
And milk in his tea.
You don't say.
That's the English way, you know, milk and tea.
I didn't know Paul was English.
He wasn't.
Oh, I see.
Oh, way back, 5-6 generations, he was English, but...
I myself was born in Wales.
Is that so? Oh, well, that's near England.
Richard Burton is Welsh, you know.
For goodness sakes.
Why, didn't you know that?
The last movie Paul and I saw together had Richard Burton in it. I wanted to show you something fascinating. Paul's World War II uniform. I've saved it all these years.
Not tonight.
And his captain's bars.
Some other time. I've really got to be... moving on.
Oh, if you really have to.
Such a beautiful night. I think I'll walk home.
Yes, a beautiful night. Oh, just look at the moonlight streaming through that window.
Care to walk a ways with me in the moonlight?
Oh, no, I don't think so, Leonard. I have a lot of things to do here.
Yeah, well, if there's anything you need, you have my number.
Yes.
At home and at the office. Good night, Melba. Thanks for dinner.
Thank you for bringing all that fried chicken.
Oh, it was nothing, really. Good night.
Good night, Leonard. Oh, Paul. Dear Paul. I need you, Paul.
Melba.
Oh, I need you so.
I'm right here.
What was that?
I said, I'm here.
Paul?
Yes. Me. Paul.
But where?
By the window, dear.
I can't see you.
I'll step inside. That'll be better.
I see something.
You see me. I dare say I've changed somewhat.
Paul. Can that be you?
It is. I.
Really, you?
Well, fairly really. Everything considered, as real as I can get.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Believe it, Melba.
Oh, Paul.
How are you?
Oh, never mind about me. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
Really? All right?
Everything considered. Everything considered, I'm better than all right.
Paul, tell me, are you happy?
Happy?
I must know. Are you happy?
I'm sorry you asked me that question.
Why should you be sorry?
Happy just isn't a word we use.
Why not?
Because it doesn't mean much once you've died.
Oh, Paul, you're not saying you're unhappy.
No, I'm not saying that.
Then what are you saying?
Look, Melba, I didn't really come here to talk about me. What about you?
Well, naturally, I'm not happy.
Why not?
Without you?
What about Leonard Whipple?
Oh, him.
What's the matter with Leonard?
Well, nothing's the matter with him. He's just not you.
Well, I'm not me either. Not the way I was before I...
Oh, but I remember you the way you were. And as long as I remember...
Melba, honey, I don't even remember me the way I was.
You don't?
Not very well.
You remember me, don't you?
Sort of.
Sort of?
Well, you were my wife.
I'm still your wife.
Not exactly.
There'll never be anyone for me but you. Never, I swear it.
Please, Melba.
We are man and wife forever, for eternity. And now that I know you can return to me, not in the flesh perhaps, but even like this. It's strange. It's weird, but it's enough for me. I can live on as your wife and on till I join you.
Melba, you don't know what you're saying.
Oh, I knew you could never really die as long as I remembered you. And you see, here you are, living on. Hello, Irene. Me. Guess what? You'll never guess. Paul was here. Yes. Yes, yes. Right here in this living room. All right, then, his ghost, whatever. Well, he looked different. Yes, sort of steamy. Kind of like a streetlight on a foggy night. But I knew it was Paul, all right. His voice and the things he said and the way he called me Melba, dear. Well, he didn't say too much. I asked him, was he happy? Because naturally I wanted to know, but he wouldn't say. He wouldn't say he wasn't unhappy either. Isn't that weird? He wanted to know about me. Am I happy? Isn't that sweet? And he asked about Leonard Whipple. Imagine him knowing I've been seeing Leonard off and on. Of course, I told him Leonard doesn't mean a thing to me, that there could never be anyone else for me. I said, Paul, we are man and wife for eternity. I said, you can never truly die, Paul, as long as I remember you. And then, you know what, Irene? There was this big, great big noise, a crash sort of. No, not like thunder, more like music, like a chord out of Beethoven or somebody. And all of a sudden, he was gone. But he'll be back. Like you said, no one is really dead as long as he's remembered.
Sir. Oh, sir. May I speak with you?
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, it's Paul, isn't it?
Sir, could I have just a moment of your time?
I have all the time in the world. I have all the time there is. But I don't quite know. how much time there is, but I do know I have all of it. Does that star look all right to you?
Well, I wouldn't know. I don't quite know how a star is supposed to look. Please, sir,
yes, of course. You want to talk to me. What about?
I've been back to the Earth. My wife kept calling me. You said we owed some responsibility to the living,
did
so
I... Did I say that?
Yes, sir, you did.
Oh, I wonder if I was right about that. These Earth trips can be very upsetting.
Mine was. My wife wanted to know, am I happy?
They're all so preoccupied with happiness, aren't they?
I didn't know what to say to her. I couldn't answer her. This woman I'd been married to for half my life, I couldn't talk to her. It was as though we were living in two different worlds.
Well?
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Still, shouldn't I have been able to answer her?
Well, what could you have said?
Well, that happy is a word that doesn't mean anything anymore. Happy is nothing without unhappy. The way pleasure is nothing without pain. The way health is nothing without illness. Euphoria is nothing without depression. Oh, you know what I mean, sir.
I do know, yes.
It's ridiculous to say I'm happy when I'm never unhappy. What I am is...
What you are is... What?
What I am is... Free.
Yes.
I'm free. I'm Paul... And I'm free. And I'm free to be Paul. No more, no less than me. Me, Paul. Sir, why couldn't I be free like that before?
Oh, dear, I ask myself that same question all the time. The only answer is I miscalculated somewhere. And I did give those people the power to think, to reason, to... figure out the sensible way to do things. Why don't they use what I gave them? Why leave everything up to me? Theirs isn't the only planet in the universe, you know. I do have other things to look after, but the way they call out to me, they want me to do everything. It's not right. It really is not right.
No, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Well... What's done is done. They'll just have to muddle through the best way they can. Now, about your wife. Melba, is it?
Yes, sir. Mm.
Tell you what. Why don't you talk to Bruce about it? You two seem to get along so well. Yes, yes. Talk to Bruce. Now, excuse me, will you? I really do have to go take a look at that poor star.
Bruce, he just wasn't any help at all.
Now, you listen, Paul. Suppose you had invented the greatest machine imaginable. One that would do, practically anything you can think of. How would you like it if somebody came running to you every time a bolt got loose and asked you to tighten it?
But, Bruce, Melba says she's going to go on remembering me forever. We'll be man and wife forever, till she joins me here, and then we'll still be man and wife.
Maybe once she gets here, she'll change her mind.
But she's only 42. She'll be remembering me for years and years and calling for me, and I'll have to put on that vapor stuff and haunt the apartment. And Bruce, it's so hard to carry on a conversation with her now. It didn't used to be, but now...
Well, you couldn't just ignore her.
I love her, Bruce.
Do you?
Well, I did. For a very long time, right up to the moment I died. My last words were, I love you, Melba. At least, that's what I meant to say. I know I had it in my mind to say that, but I'm not positive I ever got around to saying it. Anyway, I can't just brush her off.
My. You do have a conscience, don't you?
Well, I hope so.
It's a very fine thing to have, of course, but sometimes... Look, there's only one thing you can do.
What?
Get married.
Married to... To Melba?
No, not to Melba, you idiot. How could you marry Melba? She's there and you're here. Some marriage that would be.
But then whom would I marry?
Oh, heavens to Betsy, Paul. The place is full of women. Have you ever seen Helen?
Helen who?
Helen of Troy, they call her. Actually, I've never met her myself, but from what they tell me...
Marriages are made in heaven, so it's been said. There are those who consider this a profoundly true observation, while others think it one of the silliest statements ever made. I myself have no opinion, at least none that I care to express here. But no one, so far as I know, has ever claimed that people actually get married in heaven. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
This mystery is really thrilling me.
The suspense is really killing me.
Just sitting here by the radio with Vigna Rosé Wine. Vigna Rosé Wine.
Say, this Vigna Rosé is delicious.
It goes with so many dishes.
Or all alone by the radio. Vigna Rosé Wine. Vigna Rosé Wine. Come, let me pour you some more Vigna.
At the price it's a value, if you know what I mean. Now let's go back to our mystery show.
But I have one question before I go. What's light and refreshing imported to?
Vigna Rosé Wine.
That's the answer, Vigna Rosé Wine.
What a wine.
Imported by Uline, Hartford, Connecticut.
I can't find a decent job. I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now, there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. Well, why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job Service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. Jobs for people, people for jobs.
For Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
Melba was a wonderful wife to Paul, but as his widow, she leaves something to be desired. Two things. She won't stop desiring him, and she won't leave him alone. In his desperation, Paul has gone to his kindred spirit, Bruce, for help. The only advice Bruce could offer was for Paul to marry again. Not his earthly wife, Melba, but one of the heavenly creatures who, like Paul, expect to live on forever in whatever place it is they live on forever in.
You've definitely burned yourself out, little one. Too bad.
Sir? Oh, sir.
Now, look, Paul, this dear little star has burned itself out. Well, I... knew it wouldn't be long.
Sir, I did what you told me to. I talked to Bruce about my problem, and you know what he said? He said get married.
Married?
He says the only way to make Melba forget me is for me to get married to someone else. Someone here.
Where else?
What do you think of the idea?
Why do you keep asking me what I think? Can't you ever think for yourself?
Well, I just thought...
No, you didn't. You came running to me like all the others. I'm getting tired of it.
Well, if you could give me a little advice...
I gave you a little advice. I said talk to Bruce. You talked to Bruce and he told you what he thought you should do. Now, either do it or don't do it.
Is it all right?
Is the what all right?
To get married. Here.
Paul, the essence of this place is perfect freedom to do as you choose. It might work out, it might not. But that's true of everything, isn't it? It's certainly true of everything I do.
Do many people get married here?
Well, I don't know. I do know they don't come running to me to ask, is it all right?
Bruce mentioned someone called Helen. Helen of Troy?
Are you asking me to pick a wife for you? Now, what else do you want me to do? Tie your shoelaces? Help you with your arithmetic? Don't you people ever grow up?
I'm sorry, sir.
I don't care about your being sorry. That's too easy. I care about your achieving some measure of maturity. A bit of independence, a little simple sense. Is that asking too much? Tell me, is that really asking too much?
Oh, sir, I...
Sometimes I feel like giving up on the whole human race.
You're not going to cry, are you, sir?
Why not? Who has better reason to cry than I have?
Nobody, I guess.
However, we must all carry on, mustn't we? Never give up. That's my motto. Because if I gave up...
Don't say it, sir. Please, don't say it.
No, I won't say it. I wouldn't be so cruel, no matter how provoked. Now, Paul, I really must go to tend to that poor little star who, believe me, needs my help more than you do.
Irene? It's me. Oh, I'm just sitting around. Leonard asked me to go to that new steak place with him, but I said no. I didn't feel like it, that's why. Don't be silly. I like Leonard. He's a very nice man, but... Well, there's a beautiful moon out tonight, and I thought maybe... Oh, for heaven's sakes, what's that? Well, there was a terrible clanking noise just now. It scared me to death. Oh, how could it be the radiator? The heat's not turned on yet. Is there a storm coming up or something? Was that whistling sound, can't you hear it? Like a terrible wind. Maybe a hurricane. What do you mean you don't hear anything? What? There goes the moon. It must be a hurricane. I mean, the moonlight just stopped shining. How can it be shining where you are and not here? Oh, now it's shining here, too. Irene, are you there? Oh, are you crying about something? Oh, I thought you were. No reason, I just thought I heard... Well, I heard somebody crying. More than crying, really sobbing. Oh, my goodness. Something just ran through the room. How do I know what? It disappeared into the kitchen. Irene, there's something here in the kitchen. It's laughing, terrible laughing. It couldn't be Paul because it couldn't be. Paul doesn't behave that way. He just comes to the window and says, "Here I am, Melba dear." It couldn't be Paul.
"Here I am, Melba dear."
He just said it. "Here I am, Melba dear."
"Melba, I'm here."
"Irene, I'm going to hang up. I've got to find out if it's Paul. And if it is Paul, I've got to know why he's behaving so peculiarly. No, don't come over. You might scare him away. I mean, after all, I'm used to these things and you're not. Bye, Irene."
"Hello, Melba."
"Paul, is it you?"
"No, it's not Paul." "Oh, don't be frightened. I'm Bruce."
"Bruce? Who? I don't know any Bruce."
"I'm Paul's new friend. His best friend, actually."
"But why are you here? Why isn't Paul here?"
"He couldn't make it tonight."
"Why not? Nothing's happened to him, has it?"
"What could happen?"
"Well, nothing, I suppose. Everything's already happened."
"Precisely."
"Well, then why isn't he here? I've thought about him and thought about him every single day and every time I woke up during the night. I've been over every moment of every day of every year we had together."
"That's just it."
"And I'm just about to start over at the beginning."
I wouldn't do that if I were you."
"Why not? He's not really dead as long as I remember him."
"He's not really alive either, is he?"
"Well, no, but..."
"Melba, you're wearing him out with all this remembering."
"Wearing him out?"
"Yeah, back and forth, back and forth. It's very tiring, Melba."
"You mean
he'd rather just stay where he is?
I think so.
Oh, nobody wants to be dead and forgotten.
Wait till it's your turn.
I certainly don't want to be.
Wait, you'll find out.
Nobody wants to be dead and forgotten.
That's because they haven't tried it yet.
You mean to tell me that Paul wants to be forgotten? By me?
If you think you could manage it.
Forget 22 beautiful years? Oh, I couldn't. I couldn't possibly.
What about having 22 more beautiful years with somebody else?
Like who?
Well, I've heard nice things about a certain Leonard Whipple.
Leonard Whipple?
I've heard he's very devoted to you.
But Leonard's not Paul. I mean, Leonard could never be Paul.
But he could be Leonard, couldn't he? If you'd let him.
Paul is the only man for me. Always was, always will be, and that is that.
Oh, Melba, Melba.
Why do you say, oh, Melba, Melba, like that?
Because you forced me to tell you something I really have no right to tell you.
What? What is it?
Hardly anybody knows about it. Just me. And Paul, of course.
What is it?
I shouldn't repeat it. No. My lips are sealed. It's too private.
Does it concern Paul? Is it about Paul?
You won't mention it to a living soul?
I won't mention it to anybody. What is it?
Paul. Paul is getting married again.
Paul? Is getting married again?
Yes.
Who to?
I think her name is Helen.
Is she pretty?
I've never met her, but I hear she's very pretty.
Young?
I believe so.
Oh, how could he? How could he?
That's life, Melba.
Life? Paul's not alive.
True, but you are, Melba.
Yes, I am.
Make the most of it. That's my advice to you.
Thank you, Bruce, for telling me what you've told me. I really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
I don't suppose Paul would ever have told me himself.
Oh, eventually he would have.
Maybe. Maybe not. Well, if you see him, tell him I hope he's very happy with his Helen.
I'll tell him. Nice to have met you, Melba.
It's very nice to have met you too, Bruce. Are you still sitting down or standing up? I can't quite tell.
Does it really matter?
Well, I'd just like to... I don't know, shake your hand or something.
Not necessary. Not necessary at all.
I could see you to the door.
No, let's just part this way. A fond adieu to you, Melba.
A fond... Oh, he's gone. Just disappeared. Well, that's the way with ghosts. Who needs ghosts anyway? With all their comings and goings. And the way they talk. Who can understand them? Hello? Irene? Irene, you are absolutely not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. You simply will not believe it.
Bruce, where have you been? I've been looking all over for you. Even Salome didn't know where you were. Where were you?
I went to see your wife.
Melba? What for?
To tell her you were getting married.
Bruce, you had no right to do that.
Here we do as we choose. He told you that.
How did she take it?
Shocked, of course. Hurt. What you'd expect.
You could have told me you were going to tell her.
I knew you wouldn't let me.
I wouldn't have. For one very good reason. It's not true.
What's not true?
That I'm getting married.
You changed your mind?
Not exactly. I asked Helen.
Yes?
She said absolutely not. She says she's not the marrying type.
But you didn't stop right there, did you? There are others.
I asked Catherine. I can't pronounce her last name. She used to be an empress in Russia. She laughed, fit to kill. And so did Amy and Louise and Marie. Even Salome laughed at me.
Are you upset?
Well, nobody likes to be laughed at. Yes, I'm upset. But on the other hand,
I'm relieved, too. Bruce, I really don't want to get married.
I never thought you did.
Everything's so nice here, so free and sort of uninhibited. So peaceful.
Leonard, it's Melba. You don't mind my calling you at your office, do you? Oh, that's good. How was the new steak place? You didn't go? On account of me, you didn't go? Oh, well, I must say, Leonard, I spent the evening doing various things. Things that really needed to be done. Like, I got all Paul's clothes together and packed them in boxes. Tomorrow, I'll send them to some deserving charity. Listen, Leonard, I was thinking, as long as you didn't go to that steak place, why don't you come over here tonight and I'll cook you the best steak you ever tasted? And hash brown potatoes, would you like that? Ah, good. Well, come early and we'll have a martini first.
Well, good for Melba. Good for Leonard. And good for Bruce and for Paul, too. Good for everybody who faces up to a problem and solves it the best way possible. The solution may not be a perfect one. Solutions seldom are. But at the very least, they are an attempt to use the sense we were born with. And that's all God asks of any of us. I'll be back shortly.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
Here's a riddle. Name a giant that lives in the ocean but can't breathe underwater. A giant that sings songs but has no vocal cords. Give up? It's a whale. One of the most fascinating giants that ever lived. And what's more, these giants have enormous brains and impressive intelligence. Let's use some of ours to save them from extinction. A message from the National Audubon Society and its local chapters.
You do realize, don't you, that the story I've just brought you is all pure fantasy. I don't know any more than you do what happens to us once we have resigned this terrestrial life, and you know as little as I do. Unless, of course, you are a ghost. Oh, if you are, I wish you'd get in touch with me. I have gobs and gobs of things I'm dying to ask you, for one thing, are you happy? Our cast included Lenka Peterson, Elliot Reed, Robert Dryden, and Gordon Gould. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
Who told you?
I saw it happen. I saw it happen.
Now, Mary, you must get a hold of yourself.
He was shot just as he turned the corner. His revolver was still in his holster. He never had a chance. Joe never had a chance.
I know how hard it is, Mary.
I saw it happen. Oh, why? Why did I see it happen?
I saw it happen as if I were sitting in a theater and it was all taking place on a giant screen. And from that night on, I saw it happen every night.
Every night I was condemned to relive it again. And again. And again.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
CBS News is next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. The weather outlook calls for fair skies through Thursday with some high cloudiness at times. The highs near 50 and lows in the low 30s. No chance of rain. In downtown Seattle, currently 43 degrees. It's 42 at the airport. The barometer rising at 30.20. Time is 11 p.m.
CBS News. There aren't any planes immediately available in Saigon, so the planned airlift evacuation of Da Nang has been delayed. That port city has been hit by communist rockets, and there's talk it may be the next major city to fall. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Officials in Saigon say the evacuation airlift probably will not get underway until Thursday because the required aircraft just aren't available yet. Earlier, the U.S. Agency for International Development had announced in Washington that the first refugee flight was scheduled for Wednesday. CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas has the evacuation details.
Sources at the Defense Department have revealed details of the massive air and sea lift that is planned to evacuate refugees from the northern part of South Vietnam, including the cutoff city of Da Nang. Refugees assembled in Da Nang will be flown by chartered commercial jet first to Camran Bay, some 275 miles south. There, they will be processed and sent to existing refugee camps in three secure provinces along the central coast. The Defense Department has arranged for a World Airways 727 jet to make the first flights. Planes will be added in subsequent days. A larger 747 cargo plane, reconfigured to carry over 1,000 persons, will be put into service as soon as possible. The Defense Department has also asked the Military Sealift Command to charter six commercially owned barges and six tugboats to bring other refugees to Camran Bay by sea. Ike Pappas, CBS News, the Pentagon.
At least six civilians were reported killed and 34 injured when 14 communist rockets fell close to Da Nang. New defense lines have been drawn around the city, now a coastal enclave surrounded by communist-occupied provinces. Military sources report government troops now have withdrawn completely from the former imperial capital of Hue. Still no official confirmation from the Saigon government. In Cambodia, attacking insurgents are reported pushing even closer to Phnom Penh's beleaguered airport. Some troops have been reassigned from the southern defense perimeter to try to push the insurgents back. Authorities say the situation now is critical, with Po Chien Thong Airport under point-blank rocket fire, but the American airlift is continuing. CBS News continues following this message.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhoid ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
I'm Lee Jordan, inviting you to a wonderful weekend inside the movies, 1975. Actress Jenna Rollins tells us why she enjoyed her strenuous role in A Woman Under the Influence.
An act of praise for a hard, difficult, exhausting part. Oh, that's our peculiarities. That is what does make us happy.
Just one view of the movies, 1975. 30 broadcasts April 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
Saudi Arabia's assassinated King Faisal, a member of a strict Islamic sect that requires burial within two sunrises after death, will be buried at sunset Wednesday, his body wrapped in a seamless white sheet. Vice President Rockefeller is flying there to pay the respects of the United States, but will not arrive in time for the burial. CBS News correspondent Connie Chung reports.
A White House spokesman said the vice president will be carrying a personal message from the president to Faisal's brother and successor, King Khalid. In the message, President Ford expresses his confidence that the, quote, bonds of friendship which have been forged between Saudi Arabia and the United States will endure. The trip will be Rockefeller's first overseas mission as vice president. Connie Chung, CBS News, Washington.
House and Senate conferees adjourned for the night without reaching agreement on a compromise tax cut bill. They did agree to give most Americans a tax rebate of $100 to $200 this spring, but they reportedly got hung up on differences of opinion involving higher taxes for oil companies and special benefits for new home buyers. More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
By dawn, it's expected another 500 persons will have been evacuated from their homes in northern Illinois. Record and near-record high levels on the Rock and Pecatonica Rivers late Tuesday night forced more than 1,500 people to relocate. Damage estimates already exceed $10 million as the two rivers swirl out of their banks on their annual spring rampage. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI with the time now is 6 minutes past 11.